I'd like to look with you this morning at the story of Cain and Abel, which was read to us earlier, and, in particular, the three questions God asked Cain. Why, where, and what? If you have your Bible open at Genesis chapter 4, that will be helpful. Verse 3 tells us, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. Apart from their occupations, which verse 2 tells us, the first thing we learn about Cain and his brother Abel is that they both came to offer worship to God. In that, at least, they are like us, who are taking part in this online service this morning. We live long afterwards, in very different circumstances, but the very fact that we are joining in a service shows that we recognise a responsibility to offer God worship, or at least to give some thought to him. Either way, we are giving something to him, an offering. Both Cain and Abel came to offer worship to God, but there the similarity ends. Verse 4 tells us, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. God accepted Abel and his offering. Cain and his offering he rejected. Notice the order of the words. Not God was pleased with Abel's offering and therefore with Abel. Nor God was displeased with Cain's offering and therefore with Cain. No, the person comes first. It is sometimes suggested that Cain's offering was unacceptable because it wasn't an animal. After all, later in Scripture, we are told that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. But Genesis 4 doesn't say that these offerings were supposed to be sin offerings. Later, God commanded Israel to make grain offerings, as well as animal sacrifices. However, even if Cain's actual offering was faulty, for this or some other reason, the fundamental difference was between the worshippers themselves. The New Testament tells us something about Abel and his offering. Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he received approval as righteous, God bearing witness by accepting his gifts. Abel's faith, his trust in God, made his offering acceptable. We find that God's acceptance of his offering was a witness to, an evidence of, God's approval of him. He was approved as righteous. That is, his relationship with God was right. What of Cain? Well, we read about him in the New Testament as well. John, in his first letter, tells us, Cain was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Cain's deeds were evil. We are not told what they were. We just know that his life wasn't in keeping with worshipping a holy God, and therefore his worship, his offering, was unacceptable to God. And I would ask you, I ask myself, has there been nothing at all in your life, in mine, during the past week, or at any time, which is out of keeping with joining in worship of an absolutely holy God this morning? Let me read you two more verses from that same letter of John, which tells us about Cain. Chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. But wouldn't that apply to Abel as well? Mustn't he have done wrong things? No doubt, but the direction of his life was different from Cain's. The difference comes in there and in our response to God as sinful human beings. Abel's attitude to God was faith, a trust in, a reliance on God's character of mercy and goodness, and therefore in gratitude, a desire to please and obey him. What of Cain? Well, that's what we are going to look at. We're not told in what way God showed he hadn't accepted Cain and his offering. But however it was, Cain became aware that somehow he wasn't receiving God's approval. Abel had something he hadn't got. How did he respond? Verse 5 tells us, Cain was very angry and his face fell. He was simply angry and resentful. People sometimes say, why doesn't God speak to us today, clearly and unmistakably, if he exists? Then we'd know. We'd believe if he did that. Well, Cain did have God speak directly and clearly to him, and we see how he responded. What God said was the first of the three questions I mentioned at the beginning. The question, why? Verse 6, God says, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. The question and the comment afterwards urges Cain to stop and think. Consider your ways, says God. Consider your attitude towards me and to other people. Consider your position now and your future course of action. Consider your relationship with me. Consider your attitude towards wrongdoing. Be warned, God goes on. Sin is like a powerful wild beast. It will ultimately destroy you if it overpowers you. Long afterwards, Jesus gave a similar warning. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And the Apostle Paul tells us, the wages of sin is death. God urged Cain to consider his position, the reality of sin, the choices before him, and their consequences. He does the same for us. So, Cain had a message direct from God. How did he respond? Verse 8 tells us, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Cain's response to God's appeal and God's warning was murder, the murder of his own brother. That's something we've never done, is it? So we may perhaps conclude that Cain was far worse than us. But was he? Are we any better than Cain? What did the Lord Jesus himself say about this in the Sermon on the Mount? You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. What was God's response to Cain's deliberate act of defiance? Did he strike Cain dead? No, he comes with the second question I spoke of. Where? The Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? It is obvious that this question wasn't because God didn't know. God's question gave Cain an opportunity for confession. God is merciful. He had shown mercy to Cain's parents, Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed him. Later, through the prophet Ezekiel, he tells us, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Earlier, I read to you two verses from John's letter, which impress on us that, like Cain, we are all guilty of deeds which make us unacceptable to God. I'll read them again. Chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. What is the verse which comes between these two? Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess our sins. That is the start to a right relationship with God and the way to maintain it. So God, in effect, invited Cain to confess. When God asked, "Where is Abel?" Cain could have said, "I was so angry I killed him." But Cain spurned this opportunity, spurned God's mercy. He would not confess. He just gave God a surly and insolent answer. Or was it perhaps in a flippant tone of voice? Verse 9, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Perhaps you and I would never dream of actually speaking to God in that way, giving him the brush off, so to speak. "Don't bother me, God, leave me alone." But do our actions, our thoughts, our lives generally, from Monday to Saturday, say this in effect? Do we simply leave God out? So, back to Cain. Is that the end for him? Does God now strike him dead? No, we get God's third question. What? Verse 10. "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." This question, and the comment follows it, which follows it, urges Cain to consider the seriousness of what he had done, the seriousness of sin, the seriousness of ignoring God's warnings. It is seen and noted by God, the utterly holy God, the judge of all. That seriousness was underlined by the punishment which God pronounces. In verse 12, "When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You should be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." But not immediate death. Cain would still be living. Was this in order to give him a further opportunity to repent, to turn to God? Peter, in his second letter, tells us that this is the way that God does act. God has assured us that one day the Lord Jesus will return in glory, and all those who have refused to come to him for forgiveness will then be judged and condemned. He gave this assurance almost 2,000 years ago. But, as Peter tells us, the Lord is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Did God banish Cain from his presence? Verse 16 tells us that Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. It was his choice. "I'll live my life without God." How sad. Cain chose to shut God out of his life, but then complained that life wasn't going to be very pleasant. "My punishment is greater than I can bear," he said. In effect, he was wanting a tolerable existence without God. And what sort of life was it? If we read the verses that follow, we find that Cain gives rise to a society which had much to admire. It is civilized, organized, cultured, musical, artistic, technically inventive. But it is also self-assertive, full of its own importance, violent, resentful, unforgiving. And both these aspects have fitted humankind ever since, what the New Testament often refers to as the world. Humanity running its own affairs, leaving God out in all really important respects. That is a society which long afterwards killed another righteous man, the only one who has ever been absolutely righteous, the Lord Jesus, who was not only man, but truly God, bearing humanity's rejection and enmity. But he was stronger than death, and is the founder of a new society, different from Cain's, one which seeks to give God his rightful place in their lives. Are we tempted to be content with the civilization, culture, arts, technical achievements of this life, while doing our best to ignore or control the violence, the pride, the envy, the resentfulness that we see around us, and, if we are honest, within us? Or will we, recognising our need to be delivered from all this, do what it says in the last verse of this chapter 4 of Genesis, call upon the name of the Lord? Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to people in Rome. Chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice that word, saved. Trying to improve ourselves and improve society is not enough and will never completely succeed. We need to be rescued, delivered, saved, because he bore our guilt and its consequences in his death. Jesus can bring us into a new, right relationship with God, into his family, knowing him as Father. And what if we have already come in this way, as perhaps most listening this morning have? Has this story of Cain and Abel then nothing to say to us? Let me remind you that when John, in his letter that we read from earlier, spoke of Cain and urged his readers, do not be like Cain, he was writing to Christians. We are responsible for the welfare of our brother and sister Christians. Do we actively seek that welfare? Do we, perhaps, on the contrary, feel resentful towards any of them? The answer to, am I my brother's keeper, is yes. The world, society, as based upon Cain's attitudes, will always be influencing us to conform to its thinking and its standards. Thinking and standards that are contrary to God's. Sinful. Remember God's warning to Cain. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. We need constantly to look to God for his strength, his guidance, his protection, his wisdom. So then, God's three questions to Cain. Why? Consider, take stock of your present state and the choice God puts before us. Where is Abel? God brings to the minds and consciences of us all the need to confess when we sin. What have you done? We need to grasp what a serious matter it is to ignore God's warnings and determinedly go our own way. May God help us all to listen to him, to see the truths he shows us, and, like Abel, be in a right, trusting relationship with him.